So, discussing chapter 8, Karika Brahma Yoga, attaining the Supreme. So, in the previous chapter, Krishna explained how the living entity is the eternal servant of Krishna and that he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He explained how less intelligent persons with strong material desires approach demigods for material benefits, limited material results, and how the impersonalists cannot appreciate that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the living entities are his eternal servants because their consciousness, their knowledge has been covered over by yoga maya, Krishna's spiritual potency, which expands also as mahamaya, the illusory potency of the material energy. So then Krishna explained how those who actually become Krishna conscious, they can understand Krishna in his various features such as the Adibhuta, Adideva, Adijagya. He introduced some specific terms about himself, and there are some other terms that were also mentioned, such as Brahman, Adhyatma, Karma, and Krishna himself, of course, in the seventh chapter. And he explained how by the process of Krishna consciousness one can know Krishna in all these different features, and that transcendental knowledge is permanent, and even at the time of death and even after death that understanding is not subject to any material conditions. It does not deteriorate under any material conditions. So, and in the seventh chapter, of course, we heard that how one can become Krishna conscious and understand these things about Krishna is by associating with devotees. When we associate with devotees, Krishna's representatives, we hear from them, we develop the faith and the understanding that we are Krishna's eternal servant, and that he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. By further associating with devotees, hearing from them, we become engaged in devotional service in their association. By that engagement in devotional service, our faith, we become purified and of all sinful reactions, and develop transcendental piety, which allows us to then engage in devotional service with great determination, vidhabhrata. So in this chapter here, Krishna begins to Arjuna inquires about some of the terms that were used in the previous chapter, and Krishna explains those different meanings of those terms. It's interesting, we see in the Bhagavad Gita for instance, last week we discussed how some of the verses of the Bhagavad Gita can be misinterpreted by the Mayavadis. For instance, we discussed 7:25, I think it was, that Krishna says that those who are foolish do not understand me in my personal form, but think that I'm impersonal. Whereas the Mayavadis, they flip that over and say that those who are actually foolish think that I'm impersonal. Those who are foolish think that originally I am impersonal and now I've assumed this personal form. So, but here Arjuna is asking specific questions about some terms which have already been discussed briefly, and some new concepts, but in this way all the different statements of the Bhagavad Gita are fully clarified. Therefore it's important to understand the whole Bhagavad Gita as it is in order to understand any particular verse. You know, in order to understand any particular verse of the Bhagavad Gita, you really have to understand the whole Bhagavad Gita as it is. That's why we learn the Bhagavad Gita from people who have studied the whole Bhagavad Gita and not from people who have studied, say, the first six chapters. So, for instance, with the those who are following Transcendental Meditation, the TM, they used to learn the first six chapters of the Bhagavad Gita. Some of them didn't even know that there were more chapters. They thought that the Bhagavad Gita contained six chapters. So of course they would have been discussing with so many different people, teaching so many people, yes, I do yoga, Transcendental Meditation, we study the Bhagavad Gita, I'll teach you something. But how can they teach someone if they don't understand the whole Bhagavad Gita as it is? For some of these terms here, karma of course has been mentioned, you know, in chapters 2 and 3 and, you know, 4 and 5 and 6. You know, here again Arjuna is asking Krishna to explain karma again. So just in case there's any doubt, there's any misconception, by the time you get to the end of the Bhagavad Gita, you know, all the doubts which would ordinarily arise in the materialistic mind have been cleared away. You know, there are certain questions which would automatically arise. You know, quite often you read Srila Prabhupada's purports and you say the next question that may arise is this, like that. It's quite logical that according to our materialistic thinking we will think in certain terms, and then when we hear something that causes another doubt. So in this way, Krishna, understanding fully how the materialistic person is thinking, and Arjuna representing Krishna and being inspired by Krishna within the heart, is asking questions in such a way that everything is gradually cleared up. It's not that the Bhagavad Gita, the speaker of the Bhagavad Gita, or the inquirer of the Bhagavad Gita, you know, within the course of 15 minutes forgot that, oh gee, I asked that question and Krishna answered it before. It is a process. So, what did Arjuna ask? Who would like to tell us? What did, yes?
Arjuna inquired.
Hang on, you're reading the book. Yeah, right. I can do that as well. That's this. Arjuna inquired. No. Can someone, whilst not looking at the book?
What is Praman?
Okay, what is Brahman?
Who are the demigods?
Who are the demigods?
Did you say who are the demigods?
No, I asked it was Adigod.
Okay, we'll pass that one.
What is Adiyagya?
Adiyagya. Huh? Self?
Fruity.
Adiyagya.
Adibhuta, is that what you're looking for? And there is actually seven items. You're probably wondering what the seventh is. Most people probably counted six. Who counted six?
Yeah. Who is the Lord of Sacrifice?
There are. So, if we read it, Arjuna inquired, O my Lord, O Supreme Person, what is Brahman? There's one. What is the self? Adhyatmam. That's two. What are fruit of activities? Karma. What is this material manifestation? That's the Adibhutam. That's four. What are the demigods? That's five. And then in the next verse he says, who is the Lord of sacrifice and how does he live in the body? That's two questions about Adijagya. So that's six items. And then he says, and how can those engaged in devotional service know you at the time of death? So Krishna is the seventh item. How many questions is that?
Yeah.
Eight. There's two questions about the sixth item. About the two questions about the sixth item. Yeah. Right. So six items generally. That's generally you know, there is a question in the you know, that you can be asked. One of the content questions, what are the questions that Arjuna asks Krishna? And generally you mention six. But the Acharyas mentioned that there, you know, seven. I don't want to be technical because he did ask about Krishna as well. But, you know, to answer the question, if you answer that question with six, you'd be correct. If you answered it with seven, you'd also be correct. And, how many questions did he ask? He asked eight questions. About seven items. It takes a... You have to look at it closely there, but keep that in mind because, you know, it is the sort of question that can sometimes be asked. Oh, well, actually, it's one of the... which question did we ask on the this week? Which question did I ask you to answer? From the content question? Who picked that up from the computer? Anyone's done the homework, I see.
Well,
eh?
Well, not the only one.
Yeah. Data number one? Yeah. Which, well, that would have been it, yeah. There were two questions. One is mention and explain the philosophical terms mentioned by Arjuna and Krishna. So the philosophical terms, therefore there's six philosophical terms. So they've made the question nice and clear there. Right? And question two in this student workbook was, why is it important to cultivate remembrance of Krishna during one's life, which we'll get to later. So if you are asked a question like that, mention and explain the philosophical terms mentioned by Arjuna and Krishna, those would be the six. Brahman, Ariyatma, Karma, Adibhuta, Adideva, Adijagya. So, what is Brahman?
Is there
what's that?
The living entity.
The living entity is Brahman. Yeah. It's interesting because... he wants to know whether Brahman refers to the Jiva or the Paramatma. So again, you know, within Arjuna's questions, he's asking a little bit more clarification, which Krishna briefly answers them in verses 3 and 4, verses 4, but some of these answers are given more detail in further chapters of the Bhagavad Gita. Krishna, Arjuna asks, what is Adhyatma? So, if... it seems like the same question, doesn't it? That, you know, what is Brahman? And we answer that is the jiva, the living entity, although Krishna can also be called Brahman, as Prabhupada mentions in the purport, because he exists in his Bhagavan feature, Paramatma feature, and Brahman feature. So we can call, you know, one of Krishna's aspects is Brahman, the jiva is also Brahman. When he asks about Adhyatma, he's asking in the sense that does it pertain to the gross or the subtle body? Arjuna's asking the question in terms of, you know, what is the self? Is it the subtle body? Is it the gross body? You know? And of course Krishna answers that in terms that the self is the soul. The pure nature of the spirit soul is to be the eternal servant of Krishna. So then he asks, what is karma? Bhuvijan Prabhu puts it in this way. Does karma refer to fruit of activities or spiritual activity, and why, if they are equivalent, he should fight? So again, this is repeating a similar question that Arjuna has previously asked. Baladev Vidyasam puts it in this way. Does it refer to ordinary day-to-day actions or actions prescribed by the Vedas? So in other words, Arjuna is asking what is karma, and there are different concepts of karma. The word karma, activity, which can be taken in a material sense, it can be taken in a spiritual sense. Activity can be just taken as activity, or activity can be taken as only those activities which are mentioned in the Vedas. He just wants Krishna to again give a very clear answer that will remove any ambiguous interpretations of what Krishna is saying. And of course it's taken as activities which generate one's future bodies, karma. So then he asks, what is Adibhuta? The material manifestation. Then he asks, so that's pretty self-explanatory. He asks, what is Adidevam?
The universal form, including the demigods.
Yes. Here also, Bhurijan Prabhu mentions in the in Surrender Unto Me that the prefix Adi, one definition is above or over and above. Therefore Arjuna is asking about the identity of Adi, or the one above or ruling over the body or the physical manifestation and the demigods, you know. He's asking about that one which is above these things, the ruler. Then he asks, what is Adijagya? The Lord of Sacrifice. In other words, is the Lord of Sacrifice Indra or Vishnu? Indra, of course, being the King of Heaven. And what is the nature of this ruler of the sacrifice? So these are the different questions asked by Arjuna, and Krishna then answers those. So someone like to read text number 3?
The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, "The indestructible transcendental living entity is called Brahman, and his eternal nature is called Adhyatma, the Self. Action pertaining to the development of the material bodies of the living entities is called karma, or fruit of activities."
So, they're the answers there. The living entity is called Brahman. His eternal nature, not his physical nature, but his spiritual nature is called the Self. Whereas action pertaining to the physical nature, the physical body, is called karma. And read the next verse. Text number 4.
"O best of embodied beings, the physical nature, which is constantly changing, is called Adhibhuta, the material manifestation. The universal form of the Lord, which includes all the demigods like those of the sun and moon, is called Adi Daiva. And I, the Supreme Lord, represented as the super soul in the heart of every embodied being, am called Adi Yajna,
Adi Jagya,
Lord of sacrifice."
So, before we move on to the next part, is anyone clear on that? So, then Krishna, after answering it, as you can see, Krishna's given some very definitive, concise, very eloquent answer that removes, as we see there, Krishna referring to Brahman as the living entities. Again, in case the impersonalists are thinking that Brahman, that the Supreme Lord is also Jiva, that they are one and the same, Krishna here is speaking of them as different. Prabhupada explains that in the purport. Brahman is indestructible and eternally existing, and his constitution is not changed at any time, but beyond Brahman there is Parabrahman. Brahman refers to the living entity, and Parabrahman refers to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, in the next text 5, Krishna says that, "And whoever at the end of his life quits his body remembering me at alone at once attains my nature, of this there is no doubt." That's a very nice purport there. Someone like to read that purport?
"In this verse, the importance of Krishna consciousness is stressed. Anyone who quits his body in Krishna consciousness is at once transferred to the transcendental nature of the Supreme Lord. The Supreme Lord is the purest of the pure. Therefore, anyone who is constantly Krishna conscious is also the purest of the pure. The word smaran, remembering, is important. Remembrance of Krishna is not possible for the impure soul who has not practiced Krishna consciousness in devotional service. Therefore, one should practice Krishna consciousness from the very beginning of life. If one wants to achieve success at the end of his life, the process of remembering Krishna is essential. Therefore, one should constantly, incessantly chant the Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare." Lord Chaitanya has advised that one be as tolerant as a tree, Sarovar Sahishnuna. There may be so many impediments for a person who is chanting Hare Krishna. Nonetheless, tolerating all these impediments, one should continue to chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna,
Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
so that at the end of one's life one can have the full benefit of Krishna consciousness."
Yes. And someone can just read text 6 as well.
"The process of changing one's nature at the critical moment of death is here explained.
a person who at the end of his life leaves his body thinking of Krishna attains the transcendental nature of the Supreme Lord. But it is not true that a person who thinks of something other than Krishna attains the same transcendental state. This is a point we should note very carefully. How can one die in the proper state of mind? Maharaj Bharata was, although a great personality, thought of a deer at the end of his life, and so in his next life he was transferred into the body of a deer. Although as a deer he remembered his past activities, he had to accept that animal body. Of course, one's thoughts during the course of one's life accumulate to influence one's thoughts at the moment of death. So this life creates one's next life. If in one's present life one lives in the mode of goodness and always thinks of Krishna, it is possible for one to remember Krishna at the end of one's life. That will help one to be transferred to the transcendental nature of Krishna. If one is transcendently absorbed in Krishna's service, then his next body will be transcendental, spiritual, not material. Therefore, chanting the Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, is the best process for successfully changing one's state of being at the end of one's life.
So those two verses, of course, answer Arjuna's eighth question. How can one know Krishna at the time of death, even at the time of death? So Krishna in the last verse of the seventh chapter, of course, described how one can know Krishna even at the time of death. And therefore Arjuna is asking, well, how is that? And Krishna is saying, if you remember me, then at the time of death, then you can attain me. So there's some a lot of this chapter is actually devoted to that eighth question. It's a very important aspect, because in the previous chapter, of course, Krishna has been discussing knowledge of the absolute or Krishna consciousness, and one may, at the end of that chapter, Krishna is saying that one who has Krishna consciousness, always thinking of Krishna, he is the best of all yogis, most intimately united with Krishna. One may question, what is the benefit of being Krishna conscious? So, you know, a lot of people would think like that. You know, what are the devotees doing with it? You know, all the time, you go back to Shastri on Thursday, you Shrimad Bhagavatam in the morning, you're listening to the tapes, you get Sunday, and then you're doing homework, and, you know, reading, and, you know, associating, always thinking of Krishna. Yep.
Well, you said eighth question, but I think
it's
seventh question, no? Or you split it into two questions? How can one engage in devotional service knowing at the time of death? That's the eighth question. Seventh question?
That's the eighth question.
Eight? So what is the seventh one?
It's two and nine.
Six. It's two and six. Six, yeah.
Who is the Lord of sacrifice? And how is
it? Oh, that's the
seventh. You get that?
Seventh body.
The sixth item has two questions. Question 6 and question 7.
Yeah.
So what is the benefit of Krishna consciousness? Krishna is explaining that if you can practice remembering Krishna throughout the course of your life, then you can remember Krishna at the time of death, and if you remember Krishna at the time of death, you can actually attain Krishna. You can go to Krishna's supreme planet. You don't have to come back to the material world. You don't go to the planet of the demigods, where again you have to come back to the lower planetary systems. You don't take birth in any of the different 8,400,000 different species of life. You go even above Vaikuntha Loka, to the supreme abode, where Krishna enjoys the summit of his pastimes with his associates. That is the benefit of Krishna consciousness. And so one may think as the impersonalists do, that God is everything, and therefore if you think of, you know, any different aspect of God, you should also attain God. Therefore Krishna refutes that in verse number 6, that no, that's not a fact. If you think of me, you will attain me, but if you have some other consciousness, you're thinking of something else, then that's the destination you will attain. So it sort of refutes that argument, because they actually think like that. They think that, you know, you can, it doesn't matter because it's all one. Ultimately all paths lead to the same destination. We're all going to end up in the same one destination, but it's not a fact. Some become dogs and some go to Krishna Loka. there's a world of difference. So when we were doing chapter 7, I remember saying, you know, Krishna gave, he said, you know, I am the tasting water and I am the fragrance of the earth and what have you. And we were discussing how Krishna is not just giving knowledge there of some of his aspects, he's actually giving a process of how to become Krishna conscious, how we see Krishna within everything, you know, every circumstance, at all times and places. So he's giving some examples, and following that example we can actually think of Krishna all the time. And by doing that, seeing everything in relationship with Krishna, one can go back to the spiritual world. And here again, Krishna is saying the same thing, that if you take this process which I've just given you, always thinking me, I've shown you how to do it, see everything in relationship to me, now if you take that process, you will attain me. And it's as easy as that. But if you think of something else, think of things without their relationship with Krishna, then you attain a different destination. That's basically what we're up to here. So this is, as I said, it's something that when we get our Bhakti Shastri certificates, what you'd like to hand out is, here's your Bhakti Shastri and here's your Krishna consciousness. But it doesn't work like that. Some people just get the Bhakti Shastri and a little bit of Krishna consciousness. And, you know, so if we're here just to get the certificate, then that may be there. That may, you know, for some people that's all they want. It's, I'm not looking at anyone. People look, don't look at me again. But if we actually, what we should be here for is to hear how Krishna is giving us the clue how to get out of the material world and go back to, you know, Krishna Loka. We should be taking that as our life and soul. So, you know, on that note, who here has ever had a near-death experience? You know my question?
Yeah, I knew it before.
Yeah? He's under it, isn't he? Go on.
I was going to tell him about 5 minutes
ago. Alright, yeah, go.
I've had a few, but this is a good one,
yeah,
of relevance. About just over a year and a half ago, just before I moved here,
yeah,
before heading out, asking Govardhan, out past Yukai, it's a very windy mountain, yeah, kind of road,
yeah,
and it was wet road, and my association was like really, really bad association. They were driving fast. I was in the back of the car, and they weren't Hare Krishnas, but obviously I was. And the car lost control. We were going around the corner doing 120, and the car spun out. Straight away, I just instantly started chanting Hare Krishna.
Yeah.
Loud enough for them to hear too.
Right.
And I was thinking, well, we could, you know, people have died on that road. I was thinking, I could die right now. But I was just chanting. I wasn't like scared or anything. I was just chanting. And somehow, like, the car went right around backwards, but somehow it just came back around, you know, and didn't do anything and just kept going, you know. I was like, wow. And we kind of spoke about it, you know, me chanting, and they know I'm Hare Krishna, and they don't really care, but they just thought, oh, that's what, you know, that's my safety, safety thing, you know, but they were just grabbing on to things, you know, I just kind of think,
what were they thinking?
And also it's happened in dreams too. Once in a dream, my mother was driving on a similar kind of road, and my grandparents were in the car, and I was pointing to my mum, oh, that's what kind of house I want, the big wooden house, I want to build a house like that, I was saying, and mum's looking at the house, she drove off a cliff, and we're just like floating for like, it seemed like we're floating for minutes and minutes, and I was just chanting Hare Krishna, and my grandparents were thinking I was a bit weird, you know, chanting Hare Krishna.
You got over the house within a couple of seconds.
And then we just kind of landed, and no one died, you know. Yeah, it's kind of because I grew up Hare Krishna, it's just kind of.
Oh, that's good. That's good. It's not easy to do. If it comes spontaneous like that, that's excellent. It does show, you know, there's obviously practice from a previous life.
Well, it's like Prabhupada says in the purport there, if you practice from the beginning of your life, it makes it a lot easier.
Yeah, it's a fact. Yeah. Who else is. Had near-death experiences.
My mum's had a couple.
Yeah.
I didn't actually. It was funny because we were kind of talking about it in class this morning. But I, like you said, that sometimes these near-death experiences happen to kind of bring us on this path. And I thought, like, you know, she was more, you know, just more of a materialist, like. Atheistic, really, but she's kind of had some experiences. Like she never really told anyone.
Okay.
Because you know, like I think she might have told Dad, or like you know, she meets with a whole bunch of other doctors and the psychologist, and he just kind of explains it, like you know, out of body experiences, like.
So what happened? What happened to her?
A couple of times. Once she was she used to do like duathlon. It's like triathlon, like biking and running. And she collapsed on the beach during the run. And like she said, you know, she was out over the water, and she could see her body. She could see herself lying there. All the you know paramedics and everyone else gathered around. And then she kind of said, right, you've got to get back in there, you know, you've got a job to do, kind of thing. And then the next time, that more recently, she collapsed in a bike race. And her heartbeat was like, she was pretty much had a cardiac arrest, and her heartbeat was like 240 for like 3/4 of an hour.
Yeah.
Like it's not what, like she told her specialist, and he said it's not. He didn't believe it
because
it's not possible that someone can stay alive like that for that long.
Is that
the heart pretty much just pumps dry? It's just like palpitating. And you know, she could remember like lying there, you know, just like couldn't do anything, and the paramedics are like, you know, don't lose consciousness, keep your eyes open. She closed her eyes and said, you know, like there was nothing they could do. They were about to get out the shocks or whatever, and try and slow her heart rate down, and she just prayed at that moment. Like she prayed, you know, God, I still have unfinished business here. And her heart rate just returned to normal.
Unfinished business, she wanted to come back and become Krishna conscious. It's good that she prayed. Did she mention anything about, you know, what was important to her at that stage, or like specifically? Yeah, she did.
Said, like when she collapsed during the bike race, her motivation was that she hadn't chosen the music for me and my brother to sing at a funeral.
Right, at a funeral. Right.
Yeah.
You might come back as a funeral parlour director or something. Anyone else had experiences like that, or know of people who had near-death experiences, and you know what? Yeah.
So this woman in South Africa was a devotee whose mother was very staunch Christian, and the mother had a near die, was clinically dead,
okay.
And then revived. And then when she came round, she wouldn't talk for a long time.
Oh.
And then she spoke a little, and we can speak again about it. That she left her body and went to the ethereal plane, and all she would hear was Prabhupada chanting.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And she never communicated. She also said that it's whatever there is, just like here.
Mm.
There are lots of people queuing up to be judged.
Right.
People washing clothes and things like that, but she became a lot more Christian, you know, followed her
religion,
more staunch.
Oh, that's good.
And then a friend of mine also was clinically dead, who left her body and was walking towards a big cave, a dark opening in the mountain, and she was told by a story. She wouldn't, because there were horrendous screams.
Oh,
yeah, that's the
coming up.
Yeah, yeah. I heard a story like
the
that.
The Yamadude is waiting on the other side.
So she came back and sort of changed the lifestyle.
Yeah. I know one devotee actually who had a dream before he became a devotee, and the Yamadudas came in his dream and they said, come with me. And they took him into this cave, right, and then they said, look over there. And he looked over there, and it's like, you know, the hellish planets, all the stuff that we see in the fifth canto is going on, and he just saw it, and now he's a really good devotee. But he took that as like, if you keep, he was get someone, some messenger had come and said, like, if you keep doing what you're doing, that's where you're gonna end up.
Yeah, that's amazing.
And then when he saw the Bhagavatam, saw the pictures of the Hindus, that's him.
And that's him right there, over the red hair. Anyone else has it?
My father left the body recently.
Yeah,
he just, when he came here last time, I do not know that I'm seeing him the last time, but I know that he was not very weak. At the same time, he was quite detached. And then but I did not understand that he could not. But when I was relating to him, I felt that something is pushing us away. I'm trying to get attached to him, and then something is not working right, and he was keeping detaching. Something, the energy was like trying to separate us, that kind of thing. I felt like that. I was thinking, why is not working? What happened? You know? And then I was trying to get attached to him, and he was very detached. And then he started chanting, but very luckily I made him chant. I forced him to chant. Then he was quite chanting, but we did made him do it the right way, like hearing properly chanting, because I was scared that any time the body can finish, he has to be protected. So then he started chanting 16 rounds, then Maharaj gave him, he took a ferry from Maharaj and everything. And when he was sitting in the sofa one day, and then he was chanting, I was thinking to Lord, I said, Lord, I don't know what you're going to desire for him. And he felt a little bit lonely because my mother passed away. And then I was thinking, what I'm going to do for him, Lord? I'm scared, you know. And then I told the Lord, Lord, when he's passing away, please that he should not have any pain. I told the Lord like that, he should not have any pain. And then I told Lord, please, I want him to stay with me for at least 2-3 years, but I don't know what you're going to decide for him. That's also, I don't know what you're going to decide for him, but I want him to stay at least 2-3 years, that I'll desire like that. And then after that, I never knew, this is the last time I'm seeing him. He just went to Madras. I I just told him that you go and you don't worry about us, just go all the temples, go to all the temples. He visited all the temples, he was perfectly normal.
Yeah.
And just 2 days before, everything is normal. Blood pressure is normal, pressure is normal, sugar level, everything controlled, he had diabetes. Everything was controlled, he was perfectly normal. And then what happened, he's gone for a walk, he chanted, he went for a walk and was going for a walk also, he was chanting. Then coming back, he just sat in the sofa. And 5 minutes, he said, my head is aching. And the person who was next to him, he came, what happened? And then he said, that just nothing, I don't have any pain, just nothing, my head is like a little bit, I feel dizzy. Mm-hmm. And then he just laid, and 5 minutes, he left the body.
Chanted, visited all the holy places.
He just went up without.
He chanted his rounds.
And his body shows. Yeah. He's saying that his body, it was transcendental, where his body was kept. Nobody felt they cried. Everybody feeling very peaceful.
Mm.
And the place where there was kirtan, constant kirtan, and bhagavan going.
Yeah.
And then he just like, I think he just walked out of the room. And his body shows no signs of any. He was very surrendered to Krishna because he was feeling a little bit lonely inside maybe, but still he wanted to come here. He was making all the arrangements to come here again, but maybe he'll get too attached.
Very nice. So that's a really nice example of how someone can actually chant Hare Krishna. He's like a living example of the purport here.
He just went without any pain. That's very, very auspicious.
Yes.
Very auspicious. He never was sick or he never went to hospital. He just walked
out.
I think he would just
walk
out of the body.
Very nice. Anyone else got some...
Lots of stories.
Hey, come on.
There's about a 5-year-old Hare Krishna boy that passed away in Moolambah. He was hit by a four-wheel drive on a pedestrian crossing.
In Moolambah?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
My little brother's best friend, his name is Arjuna.
Yeah.
And he just started going to Gurukul, and he just a bit before it happened, he learned how to chant the Maha Mantra. He used to run around chanting ecstatically, you know. There's like some choir going on in this hall. My mother and his mother used to go there, and the sister was walking him across the road, and she saw the car coming, so held him back, and there was just like this force pulling him. He was saying, let me go, and he got hit by the car, and it was about 200 metres from the hospital, Moolambah Hospital. But they waited for the ambulance to come. The ambulance station was about 50 metres away from what happened. And it took so long for the ambulance to come and get them and get him.
Yeah.
By the time he got there, he passed away. But someone could have carried him up in 5-10 minutes, no worries. But it didn't happen. But
there was
this force, you know. The sister was trying to hold him back, but there was this force born, and he chanted the holy names. And also says if someone. Child dies before five, they're still they're free from karma and stuff like that.
Mm.
So they checked his astrology out and all that. He was chanting just but not at the time.
Not at the time.
But he just learned how to chant. But they looked at his astrology and we reckon he went to the spiritual world. He probably might know. His parents, Gopal Bhatta is the father, and me is the mother. Yeah, actually, you know Ram.
Yeah.
It's their half.
Okay.
Yeah, the youngest one. Yeah. And another time, I'll say it's a friend of mine, a Hare Krishna friend of mine. Definitely wasn't me.
Yeah.
Really had a drug overdose and went to bed with jacked beads around his neck, just praying to Krishna. You know, if I do go in my sleep, take me back to Godhead. Yeah. So even we were taught, you know, in Gurukul to wear Tulsi beads, you know, so you protect it in your sleep, and a lot, you know, I would go to sleep thinking, yeah, I could die in my sleep, you know, just even as a kid, I could die in my sleep, and I would pray to Krishna, if I do die in my sleep, take me back to Godhead.
So what happened to him?
No, he stayed alive.
He was waiting in the choke himself on his beads or something.
I think he's even practicing the voting now, probably.
My father actually, he doesn't like to admit that he's trying to get Krishna's favour before he dies. He doesn't like to admit it because he's been a staunch sort of atheist all his life and a rascal. And that's where I get my nature. And but I gave him a set of Tulsi beads for his neck, and he sort of reluctantly took. Oh yeah, I'll put them on. Anyway, he broke them. Oh, I broke my Tulsi beads. You know, can you get me another set? He broke them about four times, but every time he breaks them, he's determined. You know that he wants to get them back, but he sort of, you know, he's keeping it quiet because I told him once that, you know, if you wear the Tulsi, that you're protected from you know, a hellish destination after death, you know, just by wearing them. So and, you can see that faith there. I've had a lot of near death experiences, but I'll tell you one, probably one where I had some realization. A lot of them I yelled out, you know, when I nearly died, I probably just yelled out a few words that we don't want to know about. But this one time we were going to India with the devotees, and I don't know if they still do it anymore, but whenever the devotees used to fly, because you get a whole crew of them on the plane, and we used to sing in the Sunga prayers. Do they still do that when they go to my thing? Big, they just sing the whole plane. So we sang the Nisringa prayers. We left, flew over Perth, and then we're on the way over to India. And we got out over the ocean there, and we come across this massive big storm. So it was a jumbo jet, you know, big jumbo jet. And it sort of, there was a few bumps, and then all of a sudden it just, there was like a massive big bump. I always fly with my seatbelt on, you know, because I don't like flying so much. But anyway, I had my seatbelt on. But all the people who didn't have their seatbelt on, the plane actually just dropped straight down about 200 metres. It just went straight down like this. You know how you get an air pocket and there's a little like that? It just didn't stop. It just... And only takes, you know, it's not a long period of time, a matter of seconds, but those who didn't have the seatbelt on, they just smashed their heads into the roof and you know, fell onto the floor. People, and, you know, it was quite a just, you know, really dropping, bang, you know, coming out of their seats. And then, of course, the plane did start, you know, violently, you know, just throwing this way and that way. And but especially when we were dropping, in those few seconds, I was convinced I was going to die. I had, you know, I was just, there was no way out of this. This plane has fallen out of the sky. I'm in it. You know, we're heading for the water. I'm either going to drown and get, you know, smashed to pieces. I was actually chanting at the time. I was chanting Hare Krishna, and my mind, you know, within those few seconds, your life, you know, in one sense, flashes before your eyes. And I was thinking of all the things in my life, and as it was coming to my thing, I said, that's got no value, that's got no value, that's got no value. You know, like at this time, about to die, you know, wife, children, friends, no value. They're all gone, body, finished. And then I thought, you know, beads, and I thought, even my beads, you know, in one sense, I'm going to lose them as well, that, you know. And I actually realised that it wasn't so much the beads, but it was the chanting. And I thought to myself, the one thing I have which actually has value at this point, I'm about to die, is Krishna's holy name. as I chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. It was exactly the same thing actually happened to George Harrison. You read about that in the chant Be Happy, exactly the same thing, and he had pretty much the same realisation. And anyway, the plane all of a sudden, and it just sort of took off, you know, I don't know how. But that wasn't the end of it. Then we just got thrown around the sky for ages. And the stewardesses, they said, you know, they've been through a lot of storms. They said they never ever experienced a storm like that. It was like scared the hell out of them. I was looking at them, their eyes, you know, they usually just sit there quite calm. And their eyes were popping out of their head as well. So that was pretty scary.
They don't show anything. They don't show anything.
They don't, no.
They
you
become scared.
Yeah.
That's what they're very confident.
That's right. When they're scared, you know you're in trouble. There was a river of fear flowing down that aisle.
Very difficult death
probably,
even if you're dying, not falling from the sky down, very smashing.
Any other how are we going for time? I didn't bring my watch today.
Quarter to two,
okay.
Devotee's mother, I think she just left the body when she was just chanting.
Okay.
She just did Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna.
Ah.
And in Vrindavan, when I was in Vrindavan, they said that one Mataji, she left on Radhashtami, and then she was just doing parikrama in the Govardhan Hill, and then just material body just fell off.
My brother, who was about 11 months, he's 11 months older than me, he passed away when he was 38, 39 years old. I brought him here to the temple when I was a brahmachari, and he suffered from schizophrenia, and he had a bit of difficulty. I brought him here, tried to sort of get him to engage in service, but he just, you know, he couldn't do it, and he went home. And you know, whenever I used to go and visit him, I'd sit with him and I'd read him a story from Krishna book or what have you, but he sort of sat and listened because I was his brother, but he didn't actually, you know, he's like pretty happy when I finish, you know. But when he actually passed away of cancer, when he went to hospital because of the cancer and everything like that, he couldn't have his medication for the schizophrenia, and so that sort of just took off. It just became fully inflamed, and you know, he would do some funny things. He would sort of, because you know, they're lying in bed with one of those gowns on that sort of don't really cover much up, so next thing you know, you've got this naked person, you know, running up the hall. He'd sort of somehow get out of his bed and run around the hospital practically naked. But he had no idea what he was doing. He was just in another world, you know. Anyway, he was they would have him sedated so he wouldn't run around the place, so he couldn't get out of bed anymore. And I was going there daily and putting on the Prabhupada chanting Hare Krishna, and he wanted to hear Elvis Presley. Yeah. And you know, he sort of couldn't communicate very well, but I knew exactly what he wanted. He was a little angry with me, you know. Like, you know, he didn't speak very well, but he sort of spoke, and I knew he wanted the Elvis Presley CD, which was, you know, in there. He was a musician. But I wasn't letting on to my folks what he wanted. I was like, ah, he wants the Prabhupada again. You know? So, you know, I'd put on the Prabhupada, which just played sort of again and again. It's just nice and soft. And I left the hospital, and then, you know, 10 minutes later they rang me and said, oh, he's passed away. And so I went back to the hospital, and the tape was still playing. So it was, you know, Prabhupada chanting Hare Krishna when he was passed away, and he had a nice garland of Krishna. So. Yeah.
One time when I went to the hospital, next bed one person was there. He had cancer. Okay, so he's quite old. And he had cancer. I asked him, "What are you a Christian? What do you have any faith?" So he said that I don't want to go to the church because the church will fall on top of my head, like you know. And I said that you have cancer and then what are your plan, you know, this is going to stay like few months. And he said that I am very upset because I can't go in the caravan and, you know, I have not yet seen Australia fully and I have not yet gone in the caravan. No, these people are not releasing me. If they release me now, I'll just take my caravan and I'll go to the place in which I have not yet visited. That's what he's saying. Cancer.
Okay.
I was probably about 14 and getting the school bus home. And it was raining. It was actually hailing at the time. And I didn't normally sit in the back seat, but I was into this particular day. And I saw these two bikes. They were racing, obviously.
Push bikes?
And the next thing, the bus like slammed into these two guys.
Oh, really? Were they push bikes or motorbikes?
They were motorbikes.
Oh, motorbikes. Yeah.
And we sort of really know what had happened at that time. And then all these flames just came down the side of the bus. Wow. On either side. And I looked at my girlfriend. She looked at me and she just like bolted. And everyone, of course, crammed into the highway to get off the bus. And I just sort of stood up. I wasn't really frightened. I don't know why I wasn't. I just sort of followed everybody out in uniform fashion and thought, I bet you these guys are on the bus, you know. So my girlfriend's like, you lock, I'm not going to lock, you know. And I said, I can't lock. And the two guys were on me. One had the wheel on him, and the other guy's head was just practically not even on.
Mm.
Yeah, it was pretty horrific. And I remember thinking, what a way to die.
Mm.
Just out of foolishness, you know, racing each other down. And, we were all Catholic girls, you know, so we were doing our prayers at the time, you know, for the boys. But, yeah, I remember that, actually.
You start thinking.
Mm, and I started thinking, yeah, where are these guys going to go?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Mm.
But,
you know, it's a strange story. Somewhere in Europe, a devotee was walking home, chanting, and crossing the road when a car struck him down and really knocked him down badly.
Mm.
The driver thought he was dead. Took his body, dumped it in the boot, drove out to the mountainside, discarded the body, and drove off. Wolves came and started eating him. But he lived to tell the tale. Look up. Now, a devotee who treated like that, that's such an end. Wow. How did you come back? And the rest is a very nice story.
How Krishna's.
The woman protects the temple.
Well, yeah, it's. We're better off to take Krishna's advice that, you know, prepared for death, try and become Krishna conscious and go back to Godhead. And if we actually take that advice from Krishna, then we probably don't need a lot of dramatic incidences like that in our life in order to force us to that point. Which is sometimes what happens, you know, that Krishna knows that this person's just, you know, not taking things seriously. I'm going to have to really, you know, press the message home, sort of thing, somehow or another. So let's not put ourselves in that position. Do it the easy way.
Yeah. I was always at places where people died like 5 minutes after I'd left the place.
Really?
Yeah.
Jeez. All right. Yeah. Everyone make sure they leave the room before see that. All right. You can always be the last person to leave.
Oh, I know. And we hear about it and go, oh, I'm so glad we left at that time, you know. Or you go and you scan the room and go, no, I'm not staying here. Something
would
be going on and I wouldn't want to be there, but yeah, a couple of times, yeah.
So you've had who else has had a fair amount of experience of people, you know, relatives, friends dying, you know, a lot same, yeah.
When I was studying engineering, my classmate, yeah, who was actually was having some heart problem, he didn't tell to anybody and I was not disclosed at all, and the same day he was just sleeping with me and he was telling, it is not, I was not supposed to sleep in his room, but he was forcing me to sleep in his room, and I didn't, and till 2:15 I was there in the midnight, we were just chatting and doing something, I was never in his corner, nothing, we were just chatting of all these things. Another 15 minutes I left and another 15 minutes he left the body.
Mm.
And later all the other friends who were drunk and everything, they came and they have seen this fellow is not getting up. They thought he also drunk and he's sleeping, so they left it like that. And in the morning when one of my roommate went, because there was an exam actually, we were trying to wake him up and his mouth was opened and he got trouble something.
Mm.
It was a terrible time. I got shaken up, I don't know what is that.
Mm. You were one of the ones trying to wake him up, really?
No, I didn't do anything, but I was told
him. Oh, you were told?
Just 15 minutes, the doctor said that it was happened at 2:30 and I was there with him 2:15. I was forcing me to sleep with him at that time.
So, can I ask you one question? Sorry, one short question. Because the husband and wife, for example, in Vedic culture, in according to Iskon culture, our culture, if the husband leaves, the wife also has the right to leave the body. But in case, for example, the husband leaves and the wife does not want to live, can she just chant Hare Krishna and then destroy her body?
Yeah, the sati rite is forbidden in the age of Kali.
Forbidden?
Forbidden, yeah.
Mm.
But if she doesn't want to do, then
no, it's forbidden by Lord Chaitanya.
Mm.
And the scriptures, he's quoting the scriptures, because in Kali Yuga people are not in the right frame of mind.
Mm.
And it is likely that they can sometimes do something, you know, more drastic than what they need to, especially if there's a little disturbance. So some things are forbidden, so we just put them out of their mind altogether.
So, they ask me, at the moment of death, if you leave with Krishna's memory, then you will go back to the spiritual world. But if you, the death should, can be arranged your own death? Is that possible? Like
no. Lord Chaitanya, see, when Raghunath Das Goswami actually wanted to commit suicide, Sanatan.
Mm.
I think he wanted to throw himself under the Jagannath cast.
Mm.
Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu forbade him. He said, your body is actually mine.
Mm-hmm.
How dare you, you know, destroy my property.
Mm-hmm.
Your body belongs to Krishna.
Mm-hmm.
And it can't be destroyed whimsically.
Mm-hmm.
It is the same as going into the deity room and smashing up the paraphernalia.
Mm-hmm.
It belongs to Krishna. So it can't be done. Also, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, if you can, you cannot attain Krishna by, you know, suicide.
Mm-hmm.
He said, if you could, I would have done it a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
So you cannot actually, Lord Chaitanya says, you cannot attain Krishna by suicide.
Mm-hmm. And why did he want to follow the Jagannath Saravaka?
He was suffering separation.
Skin disease. He was having rashes on his skin. First he's coming out and Chaitanya was...
There was a lot of illnesses, but I think there was also some separation from I can't remember who, but for different reasons he sort of, you know, and as a sense of humility and, you know, feeling himself, you know, unworthy and unfit, you know, untouchable and what have you, but it's completely You do not make advancement as a devotee, you actually cause an offence of which there is a reaction. because it's going against the instructions
so
of
Chaitanya.
No. Under no circumstances.
In the morning I was reading some couple of lines where it was said that if a person dies and leaves the body and for 13 days the settled body will be roaming around in the air, and after that the attendants of the Yamaraj will come and take him to the Yama city, Yamaloka, which will take 361 days actually to travel all around, and then he will be given the next birth. So, what about a person who is a devotee at that time? Again, he has to. At that time, he didn't think. I mean to say, he didn't think about Krishna. He also has to travel away, and then he has to. What is that exactly?
Krishna's devotees are a special category. They don't have to follow the usual destination for ordinary materialistic persons. You know, everything is speeded up, you know, for them towards their next destination, towards, everything is made very easy, very quick, very painless, in fact, almost pleasurable. Death is a whole different ball game for a devotee as compared to the.
My exact doubt is for 13 days he will be hanging on with a subtle body in the air. So after that the attendants of the Yama will be taking him away. But what about the devotee? They are also hanging for another 13 days and then he will go back for it.
Well, they don't have to wait around for Yamaraj, so they can go meet me. Instantaneously, practically. Yeah, for Krishna conscious devotee. We discuss a little bit more of that at the end of this chapter, actually. So we can come back to that question. But as a general answer, Krishna is personally taking care of it, and the devotee's exit from this world is a lot easier, a lot quicker, than the normal persons.
So Yamaloka is in the material space?
Yes.
It also gets annihilated when the whole universe is
with it. Yeah. All right, any other quick questions, comments? No? Good, all right. Hare Krishna, thank you very much.